Psalm 78. Psalm 78 is a sort of narrative psalm reflecting on some of the events that happened as the children of Israel were wandering in the wilderness. So I'm going to read from verses 1 to 25 and then verse 32. And if you want to follow it, it will be on something like page 589 in the Pew Bibles. Or, if you don't want to turn to the Pew Bibles, it's going to be on the screen behind me. My people, hear my teaching. Listen to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth with a parable. I will utter hidden things, things from of old, things we have heard and known, things our ancestors have told us. We will not hide them from their descendants. We will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, the power and the wonders he has done. He decreed statutes for Jacob and established the law in Israel, which he commanded our ancestors to teach their children, so the next generation would know them, even the children yet to be born, and they in turn would tell their children. Then they would put their trust in God and would not forget his deeds, but would keep his commands. They would not be like their ancestors, a stubborn and rebellious generation whose hearts were not loyal to God, whose spirits were not faithful to him. The men of Ephraim, though armed with bows, turned back on the day of battle. They did not keep God's covenant and refused to live by his law. They forgot what he had done, the wonders he had shown them. He did miracles in the sight of their ancestors, in the land of Egypt, in the region of Zoan. He divided the sea and led them through. He made the water stand up like a wall. He guided them with the cloud by day and with the light from the fire all night. He split the rocks in the wilderness and gave them water as abundant as the seas. He brought streams out of a rocky crag and made water flow down like rivers. But they continued to sin against him, rebelling in the wilderness against the Most High. They willfully put God to the test by demanding the food they craved. They spoke against God. They said, "Can God really spread a table in the wilderness?" And then he struck the rock and water gushed out. Streams flowed abundantly. "But can he also give us bread? Can he supply meat for his people?" And when the Lord heard them, he was furious. His fire broke out against Jacob. His wrath rose against Israel. For they did not believe in God or trust in his deliverance. Yet he gave a command to the skies above and opened the doors of the heavens. He rained down manna for the people to eat. He gave them the grain of heaven. Human beings ate the bread of angels. He sent them all the food they could eat. In spite of all this, they kept on sinning. In spite of his wonders, they did not believe. Thanks be to God for his word, and may he help us understand it more as we continue through our worship. When they found him on the other side of the lake, they asked him, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" And Jesus answered, "Very truly, I tell you, you are looking for me, not because you saw the signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill." Notice, if you can just say this here, this tie-in with the psalm that we just read. There is a close tie-in here, and with the story that happened in the Exodus, this desperation for God to provide, and yet this refusal to accept God is God that has characterized so much of human history and characterized the story of even God's chosen people. "Do not work," said Jesus, "for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him God the Father has placed his seal of approval." Then they asked him, "What must we do to do the works God requires?" Jesus answered, "The work of God is this: to believe in the one he has sent." So they asked him, "What sign then will you give that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Jesus said to them, "Very truly, I tell you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." "Sir," they said, "always give us this bread." And then Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." And if I'd been Jesus, I'd have been tempted to add, "And isn't that miracle enough? Isn't that sign enough?" On the Sunday evenings I'm doing in the next 2 or 3 months, I'm going to be just reflecting on the 7 I am sayings in John's Gospel. For those of you who remember the book of Revelation, this is another 7 and is seen as one of the signs that the John who wrote the Gospel is the John who wrote Revelation. The 7 signs in which Jesus says, "I am." A phrase of great importance. Which goes back to when Moses demanded the name of God. And God said, "You want to know my name? I am. That's my name. That's all you need to know. I am. I'm the one thing which surely is." So when Jesus comes and he says, "I am," he is saying something very, very clear. And he's saying, you can understand God in this way. And one way in which you can understand God is that I am the bread of life. Life depends on bread. Or something similar, it does depend a little bit on what part of the world you come from. But historically, in the grain-growing areas of the world, by which I mean the wheat, rye, oat, barley-growing areas of the world, some form of bread has been the staple. It is well worth our remembering that the blessed potato is a relative newcomer to these isles. We've only had them 500 years. But we understand the concept of bread as staple diet, as you know, it may be rice in some parts. If you went next door and asked what's the staple food, what's the absolute essential you feel you need to have eaten if to say that you have eaten and you've got a full tummy, and they will tell you rice. Rice. You go to the Philippines, you're only taken to the restaurants that do refillable rice, or constant rice, or bottomless rice, or whatever the restaurant chooses to call it. You go into them and they'll have a waiter, and his sole job is to go round with the rice and ladle out more. Breakfast, lunch, dinner. I mean, you'll know this from living in Hong Kong, but it is a sort of... anyway, but then, don't some people here have toast and a bit of bread with their soup at lunch? It's interesting, isn't it? You see, staple diet, it's just that which we think is absolutely basic for physical life. So Jesus is taking here of something that everybody knows about, everybody depends on. If there is a famine, if there's a food shortage, this is the thing which shoots up in price. This is the thing which is needed. But one of the things that we need to discern here is that the physical bread is God-given. God gives it. He gives the seed, he gives the ground, he gives the rain, he gives the sunshine. Those things, we could almost start singing a harvest festival song at this point, couldn't we? All good gifts around us are sent from heaven above. And we know the truth of that if we're believers in God. But this bread is so important. And yet, if this bread is to be shared, if everybody is to have this bread, there must be labour and there must be sharing. There has to be work and there has to be freedom from greed. Leslie Weatherhead, the Methodist preacher of old, said, "Without God, we cannot make a loaf. Without us, God will not make a loaf." We see then that a loaf of bread is a symbol of our utter dependence on God, of our utter dependence on bread, and in this form of society in which we live, of our utter dependence on those who make our bread for us. Those of us who live a very busy life might pause to remember that bread is so essential that unless some of us were farmers and millers all the time, all of us would have to be millers and farmers part of the time. For bread we must have. So we're aware on this, if you like, commonwealth of activity which produces the bread for us, this essential. But then we're reminded in this passage that whilst life depends on bread, whilst physical life depends on bread, bread is not enough. That's why the Israelites became dissatisfied with the miraculous gifts of the water and the manna, and if we'd read a little bit more in the Psalms, the quails, the birds. We need food, but it's not enough for life. We need the love and the life of God. A Methodist minister from America, Maxie Dunham, observes that people do not fall in love. They grow in love. And he says, nor do people fall out of love. They cease loving because they cease growing in love. To live the abundant life which Jesus promises, we need the bread that is told about here. That he speaks about here when he says, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Beyond the bread that you need for physical life, you need me to give you real, true, fulfilling, believing life. Matthew 4:4, Jesus is recorded as saying, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. And John begins his gospel by telling us that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus is saying to these people who are probably not going to be interested at the end of the day, you need me. You need what I bring. You need God. You need God, the bread of life. You need the Word in you. The Word of life. The Word which speaks the very things that will in fact and should enable the sharing of the physical. For Jesus knows that if men and women do not have the love of God within them somewhere, the physical bread will not get shared. As we see so awfully all round the world, so often today. Well, not all round the world, in certain parts of the world. Where people cannot think about abundant life and spiritual life because they're so desperately trying to live this life, having sufficient to eat, staying well enough to eat the next meal and the next and provide for their children. But how will the human race ever find the means of sharing as it needs to? Only by the bread of life, who is Jesus. It's only him who makes it possible. It's only him who unlocks that within human beings, who overcomes our sinful greed enough to let go and to share. God wants us to walk with him. He wants us to know him. Jesus says, I'm the bread of life. I'm what you need. I'm essential for this world's life. And he doesn't just mean, though he does mean my personal spiritual life, but I hope we see in this something much bigger, much grander, a much vaster vision of what Jesus wants. Indeed, it's why he went to the cross, which we remember in the bread and the wine. Because for the bread of life to have effect, sin has to be overcome. And he says, I will bear it, so that you can walk with the Father. The church used to have the practice of asking one of the children to share what they had been learning on Sunday morning at Sunday school that day. It sounds a very dangerous thing to do to me. But one morning, a girl who was about 12 stood up and said, our story this morning was about Enoch. And our text was, Enoch walked with God and was not, for God took him. And she said, every morning when Enoch woke up, he prepared to go out and walk with God. Every day he would walk with God in the community and the various communities, seeking to do the things that needed to be done. But one day, when they were out on a long walk, toward evening it became dusk, and God said to Enoch, Enoch, it's closer to my house tonight than it is to yours. Why don't you just come and spend the night with me? And she concluded, Enoch and God had walked together so long and had come to love each other so much that Enoch just decided to stay in God's house. Where the bread of life was. God wants to walk closely with us. And when he walks closely with us, all kinds of transformation can happen. Which is why we take time to pray for and minister for healing on these services. Because if we will come close to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who says, I am the bread of life, I'm the life giver, then we never know what will rub off when we come to him and we are honest and open about our needs, our hopes, our fears.